Brandon. My buddy Brandon.
What's up, buddy?
Let me ask the question.
Oh, you ask the question, Mark. Go ahead.
Long time ago in my radio days, you couldn't ever say the SB word. You'd always have to say the big game.
Right.
Is that still an issue, or is it if you're not selling something, you don't have to?
I've not heard like clarification out of it. As far as I'm still working with the same knowledge you are, that it's like, yeah, that's a no-no.
Yeah,
so
like
instead
they'll strike
you
down and you'll get fined if you say schmoop or schmoll.
But if you say superb owl, like a superb owl, like just a perfect owl, it's superb. A
I remember
superb owl.
Like writing copy, you'd all say the big game, and it always sounded so cheesy. It's like the big game.
The big game. It's the big
one. So anyway, it's the big game, boys.
No, it is. It's a Super Bowl. If I'm getting fired because I'm saying Super Bowl, then I don't want to work for this radio station.
As I love you, Stu. Stu says that. I just looked up. It says, according to the Mercury News, you cannot say Super Bowl on the radio due to strict trademark rules.
Really?
Well, we're not selling anything, right?
Not very much, as a matter of fact. But the big game is on tonight. Yeah, we have nobody.
I'll edit that out. Don't worry. I'll cut that part out.
Yeah.
The only two people we have listening tonight are
me and Mark.
No. We have
your wife,
Jenna Barlow. She's going to be our first guest at 6:20, and State Representative Jim Nash, Republican from Carver County is going to be our second guest. He's a good guy.
He's a cool guy. I follow him on social media. I don't follow a lot of politicians on social media.
I don't either.
He seems pretty sane, so let's talk to him.
I told him he's like Butch Cassidy, or I always forget who's the right person for Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, Paul Newman or Robert Redford. And when Redford's giving that lady, Catherine Ross, a bunch of sass about not coming to Bolivia, you better shut up, you're not going to cry, you're not going to piss and moan, this kind of stuff. And Paul Newman says to him, hey man, don't coat it with sugar. Tell it like it is. And that's what Jim Nash does. He pulls no punches at all.
Yeah, it's those guys are refreshing.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So, I just came back from Mexico. This is the Four Outdoors. By the way, this is Four Outdoorsman, everybody. Thanks for listening if you are. And if you aren't and you want to listen to the show Tuesday, tell them, Mark, how they can listen to the show on Tuesday.
Go to the4outdoorsman.com and download our podcast. You can get this week's episode or any other episode probably in the last 2 or 3 years we've been on this platform. So go check it out. Subscribe, follow, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
you can check it out on Spotify too, right?
Yeah, it's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on iHeartRadio. It's
Apple
anywhere.
Music.
Anywhere that podcasts are available.
MyBobCountry.com under the Weekends tab.
Is it on there, too?
Well, it's a link to your guys' page, yeah.
That's still cool, though.
Yeah.
How was Mexico?
Wonderful. It was, even though it was only 5 days, we left Monday morning. A beautiful flight on the way down. Delta is a great airline. There's a lot of good airlines. But they're doing the social distancing thing, yep. So there's nobody near you. And the plane we have was one of those big ones where we have two seats on the sides and five seats in the middle. So we left the entire middle area empty.
Really?
Yeah. And only one seat per person, unless you're a husband and wife, if you want to sit next to each other on the sides. So
did you opt away from Diana?
Hell yeah. We were on the opposite ends of the airplane. So,
Did you have the same type of plane on the way back, too?
Same, yeah. Exact same.
That's weird. Yeah. So, I flew to Florida this week. And
oh, look at us. Yay.
And Mark, what'd you do?
I was in Lino Lakes.
I just want to tell my wife how much I love her.
Yeah, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
She is a good woman. She is a great mom. Yeah. She's my best friend, right?
So hang on a second. So you had dinner with Mark, right? On Monday night. What Monday night was it?
Wednesday, yep.
Wednesday night. And all of a sudden you get home Wednesday night. Sam, talking to Sam right now. You get home Wednesday night. And what time did you hop on the plane Thursday?
I left my house at 5:30 a.m.
Did your wife know Wednesday you were leaving Thursday until you got home Wednesday night?
Thanks, Drew. she found out about Wednesday about 5 o'clock.
But so did you. So
did I.
It's not like you kept it hidden.
All right. Cat's out of the bag. I knew about it a little bit beforehand, but I already said no to the trip, and then I got talked into going to it.
It happens.
And then I...
Life's a bitch, isn't it?
All the managers were on this trip. So it's like, I wasn't going to go. I was going to be only manager. And, you know, you're going to miss out on the inside jokes. And it's like, oh, yeah. Was it fun? But, yeah, so my beautiful and loving wife found out at dinner time Wednesday that I was getting on a plane And then she probably found out about 2 hours later that I was leaving at 5:30 a.m.
and she was taking you to the airport.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, let's give a shout out to all of our wonderful wives.
Yeah, Diana.
Mine included.
Hello.
I'll be going to Nebraska next week for a week. And so
she's finding out right now.
I'll tell her on Sunday night. But yeah, we have wonderful wives that let us go do this stuff and watch our children. And yeah.
Well, hang on a second. I took my wife with me. All right, that's right. Why?
Yep.
No, I said that happens.
That
you can
happens.
Do that?
Yes, you can do that.
Well,
yes.
You don't have little kids running around at home either, Shrew.
I know.
But I was going to say about the plane thing. We flew down to Florida on that same plane, the two on the outside, and it was like four or five in the middle.
Right.
That baby was packed. We didn't have any social distancing. And then on the way back, like on the middle there was maybe. There was like one empty seat. But both on the two on the ends or sides were full the whole way down. Yeah. And then in the middle they just had one empty seat. But there were still three people sitting in that middle section. And then on the way back we were in the traditional three and three. And then they had the middle seat empty. But yeah, I was shocked when we got on this plane and there was that many people.
Yeah, well, Delta won't do that. They're
that was
sure
Delta.
That was Delta?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know what's happening in Mexico. This place that Diana and I went to, it's an all-inclusive with the opportunity to go there because of Mark and his wife April. And we went down there for the week, and not week, for 5 days. But there's fewer people on the airplane because nobody wants to go to Mexico.
Right.
You know, it's,
maybe
it's,
that's the thing. Maybe since it was out of the States.
It's out of the country, yeah. Yeah. And you know, in order to get back in, you've got to take the COVID test, and it's a kind of an uncomfortable situation because you have to do it within 3 days prior to boarding the airplane. And if you test positive, even if it's a wrong, inaccurate test, you're there for 14 days.
It's a gamble.
So, yeah, it is a gamble. But these all-inclusives are pretty well protected, I think, and it went very, very well. We had a lot of fun. Go ahead, Mark.
Can I give a disclaimer and a warning as to why you referenced thank Mark for this trip? If you're going on a honeymoon and you've had a couple drinks, don't go listen to a sales pitch. Ever. Don't do it.
Yeah. But it's free.
Yeah.
What a great deal, honey. We're going to vacation every month.
We just have to listen to a class every four hours, and we can get another night's stay.
Yeah, that's funny because the lady, when I got there, the lady named Veronica was my concierge lady, whatever
Veronica.
She was, and I think it was. And she said, can we show you around? I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let us go to our room, and Diana and I will walk around by ourselves for a bit. And then maybe tomorrow we'll get together, and we can ask you some questions. Well, then that's not the hard sell. But she said, do you want to buy one of these and all this other? And said, why not? And all this. I said, no, it's not going to happen. I said, she goes, well, how come you're using your friends? I said, because he doesn't. Well, she said, how many times has he used it? Has he been to Mexico since he bought into this? I forget what it's called. And I said, never. She said, really? How come? Because now he's got three kids and you just can't do this stuff. But
hey,
Mark is my best. I'll stay on this radio show forever as long as I can go to Mexico.
You got it, buddy.
How was the mask? Was everyone wearing masks down there?
Only when you went into the restaurants.
Okay.
When you're walking all around the pool, any place, like, no, none of that stuff.
So I was in Naples and Marco Island. I didn't see one mask.
Really?
Every place of business had the sign, you know, like, you know, you have to wear your mask to enter. Not one person. Some of the bartenders were, but even like some of the waiters and waitresses were not. Okay, that was exaggeration. Maybe I saw like a handful the whole time.
All of the employees always had them on.
Yeah, not here.
No, and go ahead.
Barely any of the customers did.
Yeah, we went into the first restaurant we went into. We didn't think we had to, and all of a sudden we saw a person with a mask. It just turned out to be a really ugly lady. So, we said, hell, we don't have to wear a mask. But no, it was wonderful. You've been to these all-inclusives, maybe, and it just gives you an excuse to eat as much as you can and drink as much as you can and feel uncomfortable. But the food was phenomenal. The service is unbelievable. The place is only 2 years old. We're talking about the airplane flight and how many people are on the airplane. Well, I talked to a seafood restaurant twice, which was really, really good. Not only the food, but the presentation, all that kind of
was
stuff.
Was that full fish thing you ate?
That was one of the meals, yeah, yeah. And how do you like the eyeball thing? Did you see that?
That's crazy.
Oh, did you actually swallow the eyeball?
I did swallow the eyeball.
Was it gross? Or?
It was like swallowing a booger.
Ugh.
It wasn't bad.
How do you know what that's like?
Well, I just remember when I was a kid.
Sure.
Yeah. And Brandon's shaking his head right now, you know. But, yeah, that was it. Well, I ate a lot of the fish as much as I could, and the waiter came back and says, you know, there's a lot more meat there. And we hear all the Mexicans eat the head, and I says, and this, especially the eyeballs, a lot of protein in the eye, protein in the eyeballs. And I couldn't find any meat. The cheeks maybe in the fish. I don't know what was. I just want to dig that hard. So I thought I'd have some fun and eat the eyeball. And
I bet they only say that to tourists.
Yeah,
they tell me yeah. The eyeballs to see if they do it.
Yeah. They were all laughing.
Yeah, no. He did it.
Yeah.
I turn around. There's eight waiters and waitresses exchanging pesos. You know? And the over and under. Yeah, that's funny.
It's true. When you ordered that fish, you didn't know it was coming like the full.
Did not. Had no clue.
Did you regret it?
No, I've done
that. Was it good?
Very, very good.
Did you get any bones?
No. Hmm. I mean, there was a lot of bones, but I didn't swallow one. I was pretty good at what I was doing. I wasn't intoxicated.
Seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But so is eating lobster or crab legs. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, back to the plane thing. This manager came out and talked to us a couple of times. Wonderful guy. And very easy to talk with. And I asked him, you guys have to be getting beat up down here. You know, there's not a whole lot of people in this beautiful, beautiful place. He said, in order for us, this place is only 2 years old. In order for us to break even, we have to have 32 or 33% occupancy every day for dinners and lunches, whatnot.
Wow.
And the entire year has been 21 or 22%.
Oof.
And so how much longer can they put up with this? I don't know. That place was built just over 2 years ago for $700 million. And they anticipated their timeline was at the fifth year they'll start making money. Well, now it's going to be, who knows, 8 or 10 years? I don't know. How do you do that? And the staff was unbelievably perfect. It was a great experience. Beautiful ocean, beautiful beach, great food, fun games. We did a lot of things. I kayaked and played ping pong and do all the stuff and just made a nuisance of myself, you know.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, it was very blessed.
Came back clean shaved?
I did. By the way, sweetheart, I'm talking to my wife, Diana, here. I shaved on Thursday, and Sam's the first person to realize that I did shave. Diana hasn't even noticed it yet.
Hmm.
I've been with her for 3 days now since we got home, and I guess that's after 38 years of marriage, that stuff happens, right?
Well, maybe she's only looking deeply into your eyes.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I was waiting for where was that one going to go? But yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so how do you like it? I'm back to the real stuff.
I think you shaved 7 years off.
I look younger, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Well, I had a little tan going.
I got to compensate for the 4 or 5 pounds I gained down there, I think. I'm telling you, when I was shaking the salt, I told you this last time, my boobs were bouncing. It just, you know, this is not good. You know what
I saw some comments on your promo video.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, someone said, well, you've been eating good down there, Stu.
Yeah.
Don't mean to knock your confidence or anything.
Yeah, but. So I'm done taking nude promo videos for the Four Outdoorsmen. So you guys.
I think you look good. You
God's been good to me.
The shaking the salt thing, though, that's hilarious.
I'll tell you what, you know, this is, I thought when Mark told me, I checked on this place, and it's an adults only, and I was kind of excited about that. My guess is if I looked up the combination of words adults only in the dictionary right now, it'd be anyone over 50.
Yeah,
because if adults only, you're not going to, you think, oh, man, here we go. No, it's it.
Yeah.
No, it was nice. There are a lot of nice people there. But a lot of people have more guts than I do to walk around like they did with the physiques they had. And more power to them.
Right.
More power to them.
Well, Mark, please tell us that you did something in the outdoors this week.
It's too cold to do anything outdoors.
True.
So I celebrated my dad's 80th birthday on Friday.
All right, 80.
He came up, and we went to a few hockey games, and I made him some dinner. I grilled on a Traeger when it was 10 below.
How'd that go?
I couldn't get above 340, 350, so I cooked it for about a half hour.
Have you seen those thermal blankets they make for him?
No. Tell me more.
Tell me more. Tell me more. Like, did he have a car? Traeger.
Yeah.
Makes a thermal blanket.
What?
Yeah, they're custom fit per the model you have, and they cover the sides, the top, and the everything, so it keeps the heat in.
I did not know that.
Should have called me. You know I like to smoke meat.
Yeah. I just thought
some people
do it
just put
longer.
Towels and stuff over them too. But the thermal blanket is fire retardant and everything. So
the more you know. Well, thanks.
Yeah. No
so
problem.
Anyway, did that. Had some family over. Wonderful weekend.
What'd you grill?
Stayed indoors. Grilled some steaks.
Turned out good?
Yeah, it turned out good. Just took a long time.
Did you do a reverse sear or anything?
No, I couldn't get it hot enough to do a reverse sear. That's true. But, yeah, I didn't do much. It's been brutal, guys. You guys were gone, but it started turning, I don't know, Thursday night, and it's going to be cold for a week straight. I feel like it's been a mild winter until now, though.
Yeah. But this is the Kirsten and I were talking about this. This is the time where winter feels so long.
Yeah.
It's just like the cold, icy, it's like the snow's crunchy, it's not fluffy, it's brutal. When we flew out Thursday morning, it was that Thursday morning up here, we started to get that little ice and snow, right? And so they had to de-ice the plane. We sat on the tarmac for 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, my Lord. I would have to do it, but I wouldn't want to do it.
And then we had a 3-hour and 40-minute flight. It was brutal.
Wow.
And I don't sit in planes well.
Well, you sit. You're a big man.
Yeah. So I was like standing up, walking. The stewardess was like, "You okay? Can I get you some ibuprofen?"
Yeah.
They were sweet. But yeah, it's brutal here, man.
Hey, can I tell you the iPad story? We have a couple of minutes, right, Brandon? Just mm-hmm. a couple? Give or take, and everyone knows, I think, who's a Facebook friend of mine, and I've bought about 3,000 Facebook friends, so they must have seen my post. But Monday, we were getting excited, you're going to get on the airplane, and I get on the airplane and realize I don't have my iPad, and I knew it was where you go the TSA check-in kind of thing like there, and they check your bags and all of that.
Yeah,
I had to put my iPad in a separate gray little bucket, never even thought about it, because all my clothes and whatnot. Boogie onto the airplane. We're there for an hour and a half, 2 hours early, whatever it is. Never even thought about it. And we get on the airplane, and the iPad's gone. So one of the guys who was working there, one of the flight attendants, said that it happened to him once. You have to contact TSA, and they will tell you what to do. So I contact TSA email, and they just get back to me and say, just describe what you have. We will contact you when we find it. There's no one to talk to. There's no phone number. There's nobody. There's no link, press 0, press 5, nothing. It's just nothing more than an email.
So it's a black hole.
Oh, it's a black hole. So on Monday afternoon, they haven't found it. Tuesday, they haven't found it. Wednesday, they haven't found it. But we will keep you informed, dot, every step of the way.
I'm sure.
If we don't find
I'm sure you have a detective assigned to your case.
Yeah, if we don't,
you have a case
if
manager.
If we don't find the iPad within 30 days, we will close this case. It's but it's not. So I posted on Facebook just for the hell of it. Hey, does anybody know anybody who's in TSA who can give me some ideas, help me out? Just give me a step, someone to talk to, whatever. And by chance, somebody I know, not only as a Facebook friend, but somebody I played softball with, her dad, all the whatever it is. And so I know the family. She goes, hey, one of my good friends is in charge of TSA at the Minneapolis airport. Let me see what I can find. What's it look like? And I told her. I got a phone call.
Describe your iPad.
Yeah, yeah,
square.
Yeah, square.
It's made by Apple.
It says I.
Yeah. And it couldn't have been more than 2 hours later. She messages me with a picture of my – is this one yours? Yeah, it's mine. And it's there. So how come these 3,000 or 4,000 people couldn't find it in 3 days? And the boss or whoever it is –
you got to know a person.
Found somebody within 2 hours. So we picked it up today. The odds of that happening are pretty slim. It was slick. Thank you very much, Jen Geisbauer. That was really, really nice of you to follow up. And whoever your guy is, thank him as well, because I also will take him to White Castle when we get a chance. All right, what about Sam?
I was going to say, you kind of lost it in the perfect spot, though, for them to grab it. Like, if you would have left it on, like, a chair or something, who knows where that thing would have ended up, so.
Yeah.
But good thing you got it back, it's always like – I'm always that guy, too, that I would go to Facebook. Like, if I'm trying to – like, I remember when we moved into our house, I was trying to get Xfinity set up. And they're like, yeah, we're out 2 to 3 weeks. I'm like, well, football's on tomorrow. Work. And I put it on Facebook, and I had a guy, his brother, a buddy of mine, his brother worked for Xfinity, showed up that night and set me up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I need a guy for something.
Everyone's got to have a guy.
Hey, you guys know you can always reach out to me. It seems like I always
Sam's always got a guy. Hey, four Outdoorsmen gang, we're going to be back in a couple of minutes with Jenna Barlow. And Jenna Barlow's with an organization, a company called Carp Solutions. We're going to find all about that. Take care, buddy.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
The four Outdoorsmen love Devil's Lake. Right now, it's all about ice fishing, and here, there's no walleye slot limit, and keep 5 a day with 10 in possession. And pound-for-pound jumbo perch are about as much fun as any fish you'll ever catch. With 165,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake assures you social distancing, and that's not going to be a problem. Hey, Kurt Walbeck of Outdoor Bound TV says Devil's Lake is easily one of my favorite fishing hunting destinations. Wow. Check out devilslakend.com, and thank you.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Now's the time to find your new favorite cabin by the lake. The community of Minnesota Resorts invites you to find your perfect vacation or getaway at looneyinminnesota.com. Stay safe, stay local, and socially distance right here in Minnesota in one of our 183 owner-operated resorts. Find the right self-contained cabin or campsite in this land of 10,000 lakes. You gotta be loony not to. Go to looneyinminnesota.com. That's looneyinminnesota.com. Funding provided by Explore Minnesota.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome!
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Winter Celebration sales event on now. Visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,000 off select 2020 Summit 850 E-Tech models. Offer ends January 6th, 2021. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
USLBM, one of the largest building products distributors in the U.S., is hiring carpenters, assemblers, sales representatives, and drivers right here in the greater Minneapolis area. USLBM offers a competitive starting wage and a generous benefits package. Apply at uslbm.com today.
Good day, everyone. Pastor Joe here, and I'd like to remind you to tune in to Bob Total Country on Sunday mornings for Transformation Sunday at 8 a.m. The Word of God awaits you, and His love and peace and patience and kindness is so ever-present. Maybe we can brighten your day.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com today. That's Babbel.com.
Gary is refinancing his home, so he shopped around for the lowest rate and found it at Amerisave.com, setting him up for a lifetime of savings. It's one decision he'll never regret, unlike taking that gig in the testing lab at the deodorant company.
Raise your arm, please. Oh, man, I hate this job.
Pretty regrettable, Gary. Unlike finding that low mortgage rate at Amerisave.com that's got you on your way to a lifetime of savings. Amerisave's rates won't be this low forever, so go to Amerisave.com now. Lower mortgage rates mean higher savings. Call 866-514-SAVE or visit Amerisave.com/licensing for cost information, terms, and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all states except New York. NMLS number 1168.
Total Country Bob FM.
All right, here we go again. We'll let the music play again as long as we can because we have Jenna Barlow on next. And Jenna's kind of shy, doesn't like to talk much, so we got to drag this thing out, all right? Hey, Jenna Barlow, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey there, how's it going?
Every day's a gift. I tell you, this is Jenna Barlow, and you guys don't know anything about her, but I do. I know everything. Mark set me up on this young lady, and when she was in third grade, I forget the name of your teacher you told me, when she was in third grade, and her teacher was asking all the kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Jenna got up and she says, I want to eradicate carp. So, and she's doing it. She's doing it. She's eradicating carp. Jenna, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Trying to bundle up and stay warm.
Well, are you watching the Super Bowl?
I was.
Oh, well, what's going on? We have to work on Sunday night. What's going on?
I only saw one score and I kind of hopped off and I've been working on appetizers since.
What are you making?
Wings, of course.
Carp giblets or something?
Absolutely not.
The first, I'm Steve Strasinski, Strewman, the other voice. The first other voice you heard was Sam to my left, and Mark Lukey is the third outdoorsman. It is fun having people like you who don't know anything about us, because you'll get off the phone and say, off the radio show and say, wait, they're called the Four Outdoorsmen. There's only three of them. What's going on? So you just keep listening, and we'll tell you someday. Jen, tell us all about your background. I know what you're doing right now, but where were you born and raised? How did you end up going? You went to college, and what kind of degree do you have? What about your life?
So I guess I grew up in Minnesota, just right in the Twin Cities, and super outdoorsy parents, and basically have been in a boat since I was little, fishing, hunting, whatnot. And I guess when college came around, it was kind of what do you want to do for a living? And I had no clue.
Nobody does, right?
No. And so my dad was always like, well, you loved outside. Why don't you figure out something that you can do? And I could never picture myself sitting behind a desk. So I went into biology at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and I started a little bit of research, and I ended up with a degree in ecology and environmental bio. And who knows what to do with that. And I happened to land a job in fisheries. So I worked for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And I fell in love working with fish. So I got started at Carp Solutions, the company I work for now, in 2018. And I haven't left since.
Well, congratulations. Hang on a second. I've got to introduce you to Mark Lukey, because you and Mark Lukey, or your parents and Mark Lukey, are darn near neighbors. Mark lives in Lionel Lakes, and you're right in Circle Pines.
I am, yep.
Yeah. Nice. I drive through there every day on the way to hockey practice.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Jenna Barlow, tell us all about Carp Solutions. Mark sent me a video and the article from the Minneapolis Star Tribune about the company, and I was totally blown away about what you guys are doing, and the promises and potential of this company seem to be unending to me. Tell us all about Carp Solutions.
Yeah, so we started out in 2015. We are a startup company from the University of Minnesota, and basically we're facing the challenge of how to deal with the carp problem. So we're starting here locally, Minnesota, and carp are arguably one of the biggest drivers of poor water and habitat quality in shallow lakes. So they have huge impacts on the biodiversity, vegetation, fish, ducks, et cetera. So we're here to help remove the carp. So our biggest thing is removals.
Hang on a second, Jenna, because you mentioned that the carp do cause problems to especially shallower lakes. To our listeners who are not all that knowledgeable about the environment and all of that about the lakes themselves, tell us what the carp do to cause all those problems. What happens?
Yeah, of course. So the way carp feed is they actually go to a bottom of the lake and they scoop up a big mouthful of sediment and gunk at the bottom, and they filter through what they want to eat, and then they spit everything else back out. And so why that's a problem is they're suspending the phosphorus, which is what's in the bottom of the lake there, into the water column, and that just fertilizes all the algae and it goes crazy. And they're also uprooting all of the vegetation that's in the lake, which provides habitat for all the native species that we all love to fish for. So what ends up coming is you get a big old pond scum green lake filled with carp and not a whole lot of native species. They kind of just take over.
Would we be better off without any carp at all?
We would. They're all invasive. So we're focused on common carp. Obviously Asian carp is an entirely different story, but we would be better off without them.
Is Asian carp the one that I can hit with a tennis racket?
Yes.
Oh, cool. I got to try that sometime.
I've seen some great videos on that, by the way. Yes. Shotguns, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it seems funny, but obviously it's not, because this is how tourism and fishing in the state of Minnesota especially is, I don't know, a multi-billion dollar agency, if you want to call it that. So without that, we're screwed. So what you're doing is very, very important. All right, tell us about Carp Solutions, what you guys are doing, and how did this start? Who got the idea, and what are you doing to try to eradicate the carp?
Yeah, so there's been the owner of our company, his name is Shemek Beyer. He is a research professor at the University of Minnesota, and they started out researching, you know, behavior of carp and how they can be trained to aggregate at baiting and all sorts of the whole research background. And then they came up with a technology, which we use, and we call it box netting now. And they were like, what should we do with it? So Shemek decided to make a company out of it. So we pretty much focus on what's the best management strategy for carp in all these lakes. We work all around the metro. And so we have multiple strategies for how we do it. The video you probably saw is we have an electric guidance system, so we can actually trap the carp during their migration. So they'll actually leave their lake that they live in and go to these shallower lakes to spawn and then move back. So we can target them at these locations. And so when they're moving up, we trap them in these in our area, and then we actually stun them, and we can convey them right out of the water. We don't even have to be in the water to do it.
And that's amazing. So they, so let's say you're on a wide lake, and it might be deep in the middle and shallow, and the skinnier areas or whatever. How do you know where they're going to go back toward their other, where they came from? Do you have to have a channel or something to put this machine you guys are using?
Yep. So for the electric guidance system, we use channels, and we can actually track. We actually tag a lot of carp. So people are always really shocked to see us catching carp and then re-releasing them. But those few carp that we tag and return back to the water are super beneficial in telling us exactly where they're moving. And we can actually track them with antennas that we lay in select locations. So we know exactly where they're moving and why they're moving. So we can often target them that way. But we also have another method for lakes. So this is where shallow lakes, we often target removals with this box netting system. So basically what we're doing is we are trying to exploit carp's weaknesses. And one of them is that they're smart enough to be trained to come to bait. So we can actually train the carp to come to a select location with cracked corn.
Wow.
So basically like a deer feeder, you spread it out and just get them trained to come in there, and so you're ready for them? Is that how it works?
Yep, exactly. And then we use the antenna system just like I talked about with the migration, and we can actually tell when they're there actively feeding. Generally, it's at nighttime, and then we spring our nests up that are set around them, and it just traps them right inside, and they're stuck right where they were feeding. And we just continue to do it throughout the summer, and we can make huge dents in the population by just removing where they're feeding.
All right, so Mark had a question. He and I ride to the studio every Sunday for the 4 Outdoorsmen. By the way, we're listening to Jenna Barlow. She's from Circle Pines, Minnesota, with Carp Solutions. And Mark said, ask Jenna what you asked me about. What do they do?
What do you do with them all? I know you get thousands and thousands of carp. Do you spread them on farm fields or sell them to some overseas market, or what do you do?
In the spring, so the only time you really can spread carp in the corn or in the fields is in the springtime before planting happens. So any removals we do before then, we give as much as we can to the farmers, anything we can do to benefit them. But as soon as everything goes in the ground, so when things are planted, we compost the rest of our carp. So everything goes into a big compost pile, and carp are awesome little compost drivers, so...
I wouldn't want to be within 50 yards of that place. I bet it
not
doesn't
at
smell
all.
The best.
50 miles.
50 miles, yeah. For
so
sure.
They do break down quick, though, so it works.
How are you determining how successful this operation is going? Is it by how many hours you are doing this and how many fish you're catching per hour? What is the determination for success?
Yeah, so we can track the population by electrofishing. So what you're doing is you're stunning the fish in the water, and we run certain transects and everything. And usually, and so when we do this, we usually tag the carp like I was talking about.
Yeah.
But we can also clip a fin off. So when we're doing removals, we actually look at each individual fish and see if it has a tag or a fin clip, and then we can track exactly what percentage of the population we've hit with our removals.
Or just look for one swimming in circles.
With
quite.
One fin, yeah. Yeah.
Nemo.
Yeah, Nemo. give us some numbers. How many fish? Now, you started in the Rice Lake watershed area, I think it is, I think you're down by Long Lake. You started by Long Lake in New Brighton area, if I'm correct. But how many fish have you gotten so far?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. Last year, just in Long Lake, the spring removals were a little confusing last year with COVID hit right at the time that the fish like to move. So that was
All the fish stayed in little cubby holes wearing masks, you mean, or what? They weren't.
Yep, exactly. No, we just
6 feet apart.
We'll
you know,
try to hit them this year with that, but we did the box net system removal this year.
Yeah.
And in just 2 days of removals, we were able to pull just under 7,000 fish out of Long Lake just this year.
That's a lot of carp. Now, I know Long Lake. It's a beautiful lake. I didn't realize it was such a problem. Go ahead, Mark.
I have one other question. Well, I have a couple questions, but I also read in that article that there's some kind of disease, like a strain of herpes that kills carp. Is that true?
There is. It's called the koi herpes.
Yep.
And they're basically just, it's in research right now. So we as Carp Solutions don't focus on that, and they're definitely not using it as a management strategy currently, but possibility in years to come. They won't be releasing the disease in any lakes, but in lakes that it's prevalent, that it could help us in the carp removal.
Why not just spray the whole lake with herpes? What could go wrong, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we've never experienced that before.
I have another question for you as well. So how do you determine what lakes you go to? Do you have private lake associations that hire you, or is it like a DNR-funded thing, or like what determines where you go?
So we get contacted for various reasons, and a lot of different entities contact us. We work with watershed districts and watershed management organizations, conservation districts. Sometimes it's lake associations. And so people contact us for different reasons, whether it be poor water quality and they're just trying to improve the water quality within their watershed district, or some people just like lake associations, obviously they see it affecting their native species, so they just want to remove the carp in hopes that the water becomes much more clear. So for various reasons, we get contacted, and the first thing we do is just go and assess the problem. So we'll get a population estimate, and our goal isn't to eradicate the carp. That's probably never really something we'll ever get to, but we want to get to the below the threshold that we know that water quality will increase and the vegetation will start to come back. So that's what our goal is at every lake we approach.
Go ahead, Sam.
I was going to ask, so I know this is a really hard question to answer. You said you took out a little over 7,000 in 2 days. What do you guys think what the population is at right now?
It varies lake to lake. In Long Lake, I can't remember just off the top of my head what the population is there.
Just ballpark it.
We're estimating that we targeted about 20% of the population. So.
Okay.
So that's 7,000 times 4.
There you go, 28,000. Right?
There you go. Yes, I guess so. That's the long way to get there.
Yeah, but that's what kind of education you get in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hey, Carp Solutions
is Minnesota.
Carp Solutions is a private company, correct?
Yep.
What does it cost to make one of your machines, the one we saw, the conveyor belt thing, and all that kind of stuff? And is that patented? Can someone just take this idea and run with it and go other places?
So the electric guidance system is actually a product from a company called Procom, and they're actually in Poland. So that's what made it complicated this year. Our engineers over there aren't able to come to the United States this spring. So we're in coordination with a lot of different people for that specific project. But our box net systems are patented by our company, so that's all exclusive to us. Those systems, it super varies. We have a lot of the equipment on hand, so you're basically just renting our nets and labor costs for the lake. But we have developed a lot of technologies with our nets now that can involve citizens. So if they help, a lot of times the volunteers reduce the cost significantly.
That makes sense. Yeah. Hey, I want to come watch this sometime next spring. Can I do that? Are you still going to be working in the Twin Cities next spring and summer?
We are all summer long. Long Lake is a huge project we do just all around the metro. If you check out our website, there's some cool videos about what we do. It's so hard to describe exactly what our netting system looks like, and this electric guidance system, the video best describes it.
And what is your website?
Our website is carpsolutionsmn.com.
Jenna Barlow, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. I think this is very, very interesting. We're going to follow this, and I'm extremely interested in investing in your – I'm a big shot. I got a lot of money. I'm going to invest in your – I do a radio show. So I'm going to invest in Carp Solutions. We'll talk about that off the air with over a glass of wine. Hey, Jenna, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman, and thanks for all you do. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I'm excited for you guys. And I know you're going to grow, and I think it's just looking forward to the success. So thanks for sharing that information with us, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Jenna, have a great night.
You too. Stay warm.
You bet. Isn't that a great – That's a great
cool. That's insane.
It was fun to watch. Yeah. I would love being involved in that.
You know, it'd be cool, and I bet this is like, and it's not like, this could be so interesting. I think they'd draw too many people to come watch it all the time. Your kids would love to see how they do this and watch these 20, 30-pound carp
coming
up that conveyor belt.
I wonder if we could rent that thing and do it for walleyes.
On Mille Lacs.
We probably could. I think we could do that. Well, that was Jenna Barlow with Carp Solutions. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. I'll tell you what. Going to be right back with our friend, Republican Representative Jim Nash, after this. Truman here for one of our favorite fishing destinations, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. With plenty of guiding services, you'll have every opportunity to catch your limit of walleyes or jumbo perch, or both. Find out why Devil's Lake has earned the reputation of being the perch capital of the world and also being ranked one of the top five fishing destinations in the United States. It's great fishing, hotels, restaurants, and great people. Hey, go have some fun. Book your trip by visiting devilslakend.com. Thanks.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, DeZeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy, available financing means there's no runaround. DeZeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DeZealHVAC.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
No boat show in 2021? No worries. Open Water will be here before you know it, and you can still claim your 2021 build slot. Trade in now and reserve your custom 2021 model for a spring delivery. Alumacraft, Ranger, and Lund fishing boats. Godfrey, Lowe, and Ranger pontoons. Don't miss the mark. Get your build reserved today now while you still can. Call 763-576-1706 to order yours today. Visit PowerLodge.com and check out the huge selection, or visit Power Lodge in Ramsey, Brainerd, or Mille Lacs.
Total Country Bob FM.
Thank you very much, Brandon. Brandon Backstrom is our engineer behind the glass. He takes care of us every Sunday. And if he didn't, we couldn't talk to people like Representative Jim Nash from Waconia, Minnesota. Jim, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen again, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys. It's been a little while, but I'm glad to be back on the air with you.
Well, and what's cool about it, you're taking some time off with the Super Bowl Sunday. Oh, we can't. The big game. I just found out, Jim, that we can't say Super Bowl on the radio.
You just said it.
Oh, I did.
Stop saying it.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, thanks for being on the show on the night of the big game, Mr. James Nash. But yeah.
Absolutely, guys. Happy to be here and looking forward to our time.
Hey, what's the score?
I walked away when you guys texted me. It was 7-3, but it could have changed since I walked upstairs to get out of the folks that we have in the house.
Just give us a play-by-play for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, we don't want to know anything else, but yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Representative Jim Nash, he's District 47A, doing his fourth term. This is the kind of guy he is. He's doing his fourth term as a state representative, and he lives in Waconia, I think. And, Jim, what do you do now? Representatives, state representatives do not do this full time. Most of them,
no,
I imagine. Yeah. So
no,
most
we are citizen legislators. So in my daytime job, I work for a Twin Cities company called FR Secure. We do cybersecurity.
Okay. Now you're the kind of guy we want to talk to. As a matter of fact, Sam, we have a new guy on the show. It's almost 6 months, close to a year right now. Sam,
over
off
a
it
year.
All. Is it over a year already?
Yeah.
My God, we're getting
He's
old.
Still I'll be, a new guy.
I'll be 70 this year. Anyway, Sam, you'll like this guy because I believe, Jim, you also teach permit to carry classes, right?
So I don't teach them. I actually had a fundraiser today with a buddy of mine who we did a permit to carry fundraiser class so that I can go back to the Capitol and continue working for people's Second Amendment rights. And we had 32 people taking the class today virtually and going to set up our time to go out and shoot and get people their permits to carry.
Yeah, my buddy Sam here teaches those classes, don't you, Sam?
Yes, sir. I've done it for almost 10 years now.
Yeah. So Sam could help you out someday as well. If you needed someone to help you guys out, he'd be glad to help you out.
I'd do that for you.
Fantastic.
What's happening in legislature? What's new? What now? Any new bills out there that we should be thinking about that hopefully you've been involved with?
Yeah, so here's one that I think your listeners would enjoy. So I have a bill. It's moving through the legislature. It allows organizations like Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, and other organizations during this time of COVID to continue doing their raffles. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make it so that you can buy a raffle ticket online. It's one of those why didn't we do this earlier kind of bills.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest is for listeners to reach out to their legislators and offer up some support for that. I have another one that I am working on that is kind of designed to push the people who are anti-lead ammunition to put their money where their mouth is by making non-toxic ammunition tax-free. So, you know, first of all, the ammo is hard to find, period, but mm-hmm. the non-toxic stuff is even more expensive. So I just thought, well, let's throw it out there and see if folks are going to put their money where their mouth is and waive that tax revenue on those. So those are what I'm working on this year right now.
Let me ask you a question about that. So I don't know who's pushing to have the ammunition for hunting and whatnot non-toxic. What are the odds of that ever happening? I mean, is that possible? Is someone going to push through?
Yeah. So for the last number of years, the other side of the aisle for me has tried to do a lead ammunition ban altogether. And
I'm aware of
you know,
that.
There's there's so many reasons to not do that. And, you know, for example, Federal here in our own state gets most of the lead for their ammunition from recycled car batteries. And that's just a great way to recycle and reuse and employs, I think, almost 1,800 people doing that. But, yeah, so they have tried to ban lead ammunition altogether. DFL Representative Jamie Becker Finn has carried that a number of times, and I have no expectation that that's going to end. And I really hope that we're able to preserve that because, you know, as a guy who hunts and fishes and does all kinds of outdoor stuff, you know, there's really nothing quite like lead when you're trying to make that good and ethical kill on a large game animal.
Yeah.
I just think that it's something we're going to want to keep around.
Sam.
And to me, Jim, it seems kind of like a slippery slope, right? Is there a tactic behind that? Is it really the non-toxic, or is it just trying to break the barrier and just
we banned a certain kind of ammo, yeah, you know, that
well,
kind of deal.
Let's do it all, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest, 95% of ammo is lead.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's a slippery slope. And just like some of the other bills that are moving through the legislature right now, there's another red flag law. There's another universal background check law coming. I serve on the Capitol area security, and they're trying to eventually ban guns at the Capitol. And, you know, as a Minnesota permit to carry holder, I know that I have the ability to do that down at the Capitol. And my freshman term, I actually passed a bill that says if you're a permit to carry holder, you don't need to register your gun at the Capitol. So it's just it is a very slippery slope from the anti-gun crowd, who I think fundamentally doesn't understand what being a permit to carry holder or a gun owner means. Yeah. They think that we're all some crazed, bloodthirsty, cold dead hand kind of crowd. And
right.
You know, there's a lot of people who are very thoughtful gun owners, and I just think that that's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, I think we get a bad name for it. And a lot of it to do is, and I don't mean this in a bad way, is it's ignorance, not knowing about, you know, the proper way to handle a gun or never brought up or, you know, that one
totally.
Person. The one person that their grandpa handed them a 10-gauge when they were 5 years old and it ruined them for life. So, I mean, I definitely get that for sure. You mentioned it, and I want you to touch base on it if you don't mind. The red flag law, which is a huge, huge thorn mm-hmm. in our side. What's the status on that? And then also, I know there was correct me if I'm wrong, there was a bill presented within the last couple of years about a quote-unquote stand your ground law.
And yeah, Jim was involved in that.
The stand your ground law was a bill that I carried.
Yep.
Oh, perfect.
Our friend Representative Matt Bliss from up north in the Bemidji area has it this year. But you know, the red flag law says that if in some versions of the bill, if a girlfriend that you guys all had, you know, 25 years ago says that they don't believe that Strew is mentally fit to have a gun,
which has happened.
So that they could call law enforcement and say, I think he's crazy and we need to take his guns away. There would be no due process allowed to him. under the bill, the police could just come and take away his guns. And if he lived in a house that had roommates, they could take the roommates' guns as well. So it's just, it's a very broad brush, wide-ranging approach, and I think it's just too much.
It honestly makes my blood boil just because it is people, you got to understand, people, that this red flag law, that's how mad I am right now, is scary because literally it could just be, they could know you are a gun owner and they could just create some crap and they could come in your house and literally take your protection from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they could.
You know, I'll tell you, you're talking about the Federal Ammunition Company and whatever, but I didn't know that a lot of the lead is made into batteries, right? Is that what you're saying?
It's from batteries.
It's from batteries.
Yeah, and from batteries, yeah. So Federal Ammunition has been a great steward of resources and uses reclaimed batteries to get their lead. And there's a battery reclamation site down in Golden Valley, I believe, or maybe Bloomington. I forget which one. But so that's a great thing.
It
keeps those batteries from being landfilled or sent over to China or whatever. So,
and a lot of people don't realize, too, that every gun range that you go shoot, I mean, they have these steel traps to collect the lead and also the rubber. If they're rubber, they filter through those and they recycle all the lead. They recycle the brass. I mean, gun owners are some of the best recyclers there are.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I wanted to give you that bill number for like the Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever and those groups so that your listeners can call into their legislators.
Shoot,
go ahead. It's House File 531. I'm the primary author. And it would allow during this time of COVID, and I hope moving forward for the folks like Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, American Legions, local fire departments to have people who want to buy their raffle tickets do so online with a credit card, because the way the law says right now, you have to be in person in order to do that. You know, I can buy almost anything I want online today and sometimes have it here same day or the next day, but I think that this... for a lot of our charitable gaming organizations and for, you know, the folks like Pheasants Forever, DU, and all that, these are where they get a lot of the money that they do a lot of good, both for the environment and for hunting land and education programs. So it's House File 531. Call your legislator and put some pressure on them to say, hey, these are good organizations. Let's get off our butt and get this done.
Yeah. Mark.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim, because... you know, these organizations are hurting. We work pretty closely with Pheasants Forever at Roundshare Productions. And, you know, without the big banquets, they can't have the banquets lately. The Pheasant Fest was canceled. Basically, most of their streams of income have been canceled. So something like this would be very, very important for them.
Absolutely. I don't know how much time we have left, but I did want to tell you about something that we were able to get done last biennium that's just the coolest story if we have the time.
Yeah, we do. We have about 4 minutes.
Okay, so I think you guys know my buddy Steve Panaz. He's a professional fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Steve and I worked on a bill really to help folks like his son, Pierce.
Yep.
So Pierce was about to turn 18, and he was going to have to get his own hunting license, which means that he had to pass hunter safety. Pierce has special needs and really wouldn't have been able to do that. So what we wound up doing is we passed the law that says that special needs individuals can take advantage of what's called the Apprentice Hunter Program.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apprentice Hunter Program means that you can basically hunt side by side with either your parent, your guardian, or a responsible adult. So it took us 2 years to get this silly thing passed.
Wow.
But I was on a trip with my daughter in Michigan, and Panaz sends me this text, and it's him, his son Pierce, and this big buck.
Awesome.
And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm a big tough guy, but I started crying because I knew what that meant.
Yep.
It meant that this young man could fulfill the dream that he had to take a deer. And you guys might have seen it in the news. It kind of went crazy, and Pierce became a little bit of a hunting celebrity for a while.
Yeah.
But see, this is for your listeners that think that the legislature doesn't ever do anything bipartisan or positive.
Right.
I had Democrat votes, I had Republican votes, and everybody coalesced around it to make sure that it happened. You know, one of our staffers named Amy was really helpful in getting that done. Former chair, my friend Dan Fabian, who's now retired from the legislature, helped get it done. And it was just the best outcome that anybody could have possibly had to watch a young man fulfill his dream to be a hunter and encourages people with special needs to continue hunting just like all of us do.
You know, Jim, again, we're talking with Representative Jim Nash, and I know you've got six kids, and all of you love the outdoors. You love to hunt, and you love to fish. This is a bill that, like you say, why did it take so long? Why did it take so long? I mean, this should have happened 10, 20, 30 years ago, you know.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the legislation doesn't catch up with the needs of the people, and that's, you know, you guys have all said to me in private before that I try to do my stuff as a practical legislator. We need more people to reach out and say, hey, here's a problem, here's a thing that needs to get fixed. And I love working on that stuff. So it was just a pleasure to be able to do that because I know that other folks have taken advantage of it. And, yeah, it shouldn't take that long because a good bill should just get fast-tracked. But politics are politics, and sometimes members need a kick in the rear end to say, hey, this is for the good of the order, and everybody benefits. So
under normal circumstances, how long do these bills that you introduce normally take? Like 531 is you introduced it because of what we're going through, and it should get passed. Mm-hmm. How long does it normally take?
So I would hope that, for example, House File 531, if we can get it passed, that we could get it passed on the governor's desk, signed into law, and we could actually have it take effect a couple of days after enactment. Sometimes a bill has to wait until August for tax purposes, and that's just a constitutional thing. But, you know, you can pass things in a couple of weeks, or sometimes, you know, you feel like that guy pushing a rock up the hill. There's stuff that I've been working on for now 7 years that I don't know, it may take longer. It took me 3 years to get it to where we could pass a law that allowed people to put scopes on muzzleloaders so that older guys or people who had need to have a little extra help could put a scope on their inline muzzleloader.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that took for a while as well.
Jim, you're a good man. Thanks for being a representative in the state of Minnesota, the fourth term, and you got fifth and sixth. Just keep doing it because you work for everybody. You know, you try to be nonpartisan, if that's what you call it, but you work for everybody, and it's fun to see the things you put through. I'll tell you what, we don't have much time anymore, but I'll tell you, I'm going to follow all of this stuff. We're going to follow 531, put it on our website, but I'm going to follow the Free the Growler bill you're trying to pass. We're going to talk about that maybe some other time, but it's not hunting and fishing, it's not outdoors, but Free the Growler is something we'll share with other people as well. That has to happen. Just has to happen.
Yeah. If folks are interested, they can look at my Facebook page, Representative Jim Nash, and learn a little bit more about the Free the Growler movement. But thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet.
I'm always happy to come back, you know, or do multiple segments if you guys will let me to come back sometime.
We do.
But thanks for the opportunity tonight.
If you're willing to talk two segments next time, we'd love to have you because there's so much to care for you. All right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the second half of The Big Game.
Thank you, sure.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Jim. Good man.
Good man. Well, we have a couple minutes here. We'll get a couple shout-outs going. Thank you for everyone that wrote in and listened on this Super Bowl. Oh, Big Game Sunday. Chad Daniels from Hometown New Outdoors. They're cheering for the Missouri team. Can't name the team, but they're down in Missouri chasing snow geese at Harris Outfitters. Thanks for writing in. And Will Goble says, sitting out in the shack waiting on something to bite. Good luck, Will. It's awfully cold. Thank you for everyone for writing in.
Should I talk about Free the Growler right now?
Probably don't have time for that.
Oh, well, 1 minute. Listen. Then let's talk about our sponsors.
Let's talk about what your rack scored. We never really
Sam. Yeah, Sam scored. Well, I kind of posted, but Sam scored the deer that I got this year, and it came out to?
It was 153 5/8.
It was
a nice deer. Yeah. Most guesses were a lot lower than that.
Yeah, my wife was closest at about a 149, and she
actually, I think I was the closest.
Were you? That's your job.
Remember,
yeah.
I called it. I called it before I scored it. I said it's going to be 154 4/8.
Wow!
And I was off by 7/8.
Then I saw it was about a 158, and I saw him with little nail clippers up there shaving these, shaving the antlers down.
I do have to say really quick before we go, that deer was a gorgeous deer. So it scored 153, which is 5/8, which is a a beautiful deer. A lot of people hunt their whole life, don't shoot anything like that. That deer had 3 points that probably took away 14, 15 inches of that. They were broke off. So that was, you know, that's a Boone and Crockett in my mind.
Yeah, that's a Boone and Crockett as far as I'm concerned.
Me too.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to The 4-Outdoorsman. Again, you can check this thing out on Tuesday by going to the4outdoorsman.com. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can watch the rest of the football game. And thanks to Jenna Barlow, thanks to Representative Jim Nash, and thanks to you for listening. So Sam, Strewman, and Mark checking out of here. In the meantime, Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.